Good morning. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the producer and host of WTBR's Morning Drive. As you know, we have an election coming up in September, and WTBR being community-based radio and PCTV being Pittsfield community-based television, we are going to air interviews with all the candidates in the preliminary election that responded to our invitations. The order of presentation is exactly how we receive the candidates. First come, first on. Last come, it will be the last interview. Please vote. Please vote. Thank you and God bless. Keep on. Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am here this morning was a person I've known for a long time. I was a retired police officer and was a school adjustment counselor. That's very important in this conversation. Her name is Karen Kalinowski. She is running for mayor. She is a current city councilor. After all the counseling I gave her about, she's still going to run for office. But that's all right. She's out there and she's swinging a bat. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I just want to correct one thing. You called me school adjustment counselor. I was a resource officer.
Oh, I'm sorry. You in a way, both jobs.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I know. Anyhow, long story. Karen is running for mayor. She's been on the city council two terms now. So, but I have some questions I've prepared, and these questions have been on a non-scientific survey of the city of citizens of the Pittsfield, Big Y, Price Chopper, restaurants, and some of them are the very important issues to people. And Karen, if I've watched the city council, if you watch, she's really a people person, a taxpayer person. First and foremost, Karen, why are you running for mayor?
Because I feel I could, the city needs to change. They need to change from, you know, the old way of running things. Yeah. It's the same reason I ran 4 years ago. I didn't like the direction our city's going in. I did not like how some things were being run. And so instead of complaining about it, I took my papers out and I tried to do something about it. And as a at-large counselor, I could do some things individually for people, but it seems like I can't do the big things. And I think I can as the mayor. Okay. You know, I just see my opponents and it just feels like, you know, with either the two of them, we're going to keep things going the same direction it's already in. And we need a change. I love this city. I grew up here. I've lived here my whole life. And I believe that we can be better.
Karen, I applaud you for doing the, and as I do everyone who's running for office. I kid about it. But the system works because people run for office. And I applaud you for that. I really do. You get elected. You get in the Oval Office. You don't want to go there. In the corner office. And all of a sudden, what are your top three projects? You really, these are things that have resonated with you and you want to change.
Okay. I mean, I think there's more than three because I don't think we can I think we have to do things simultaneously at the same time.
Right.
North Street is one of them. I've been an advocate of getting rid of the bike lanes. The panhandling, the homeless, you know, the open drinking, you know, people being passed out in storefronts, it needs to be taken care of. Our downtown is the center and the highlight of our city. And if we're going to be attracting new businesses or people to come live here, we don't want them seeing what you see today. There's so many because also our schools.
No, I mean, this is your 28 minutes. Take it any way you want.
Well, there's just so many things I want to do all at the same time. I mean, there's multiple areas because our schools, you know, a lot of them are underperforming. I know the superintendent says he's got some more changes coming in this year. I hope to see a positive response from that, these changes. But I need to sit down and talk to people. More so that are on the front lines. I need input from them about what they need. I mean, I have heard from some. That's why, you know, I've pushed and supported our paraprofessionals and the staff for raises and stuff, because one thing we're losing in our school system is paraprofessionals, people in the classroom with the teacher helping the kids that are struggling. I mean, when I was at Reed, for my last 3 years, the number of kids coming into Reed, not being able to read at a fifth grade level, kept going up. That's a problem. That's not a problem in the middle school. That's a problem in the elementary school. We need to fix that. I mean, why? Why is this happening? Why are, you know, the numbers going up? And it's something that needs to be fixed. And then, you know, you have, you know, our DPW and our water. I mean, like I said, it's, we have a lot. I couldn't narrow it down to three things.
Okay, no. But that's an arbitrary number I pulled out of the sky. But the ones that you mentioned. All right, let me go back. As I said, my non-scientific, because they were further on, but you brought the bike lane. Number one in the city, number one from people, even people who wouldn't get on a bike with a gun to their head, that it's really, it was the number one issue, closely followed, and I'll give them to you, then we can address each one, closely followed by panhandling. And a lot of the seniors are totally avoiding not only North Street, but other parts of the city where they're standing on the corner, especially if they're elderly drivers or, oh, I'm an old driver. But seriously, you're just afraid they'll step out, you know, or something. So, and then homelessness. So take those and run with them. It's your 28 minutes. And I know you've got strong feelings on.
Okay, well, I'll hit North Street first because that was something I ran on when I ran at large, because it was 90% of the people whose doors I knocked on. That was their biggest complaint.
Yep.
Right after I got elected and got into office in last January, I did speak to our commissioner in regard to the design and, you know, why didn't he look at a safer design with the sidewalk and a bike lane and a curb than parking. And then your driving lane, which would have made it easier to understand. It would have made it safer for the bicyclist. It would actually be a curbing, just like there is on the sidewalk, you know, between them and the vehicles. A vehicle couldn't just swerve into the bike lane. And, you know, I kind of just, why don't we switch it? And he seemed happy with what we had. So I went and I advocated to put it on the ballot so the voters could decide, because I did reach out to the mayor and she said she wasn't going to change it. So I got it on the ballot, and then some of the counselors decided that they were going to rescind that, so the voters didn't have a say. So if I become mayor, yes, that bike lane will not be there in that lane of traffic. It will go back to the lane of traffic. We can slow down speeders by new light systems that react off the speed of cars and can start turning lights red to slow people down. I patrolled on a bicycle. I had no problem navigating North Street and the side streets when I rode. I think educating the public is going to be a big one on, one, bike riders.
Yeah.
That they're supposed to obey the laws of the road, just like cars do. And some people don't understand that. Not all of them. I've seen some bikers stop at the red lights and
me too.
And everything. But I've seen a whole lot not. And then with cars, we need cars to understand, you know, how to drive with a bicyclist.
Yeah.
You know, when they see bicyclists signaling and, you know, when they want to switch lanes or what, so they, you know, they're comfortable on the road with them. The panhandling. That's something that I think with North Street, having a beat officers out there again would be important as a deterrent. Also using our social workers and people like from the different social services to come in and talk with them and seeing what they need. Is it something that they're out here that they need that we can provide for them so they're not staying there? I'm also an advocate for the signs. Some cities have them. There are signs put up in the areas that people stand, asking them not to give them, hand them money. And if they want to help, list the organizations in our city that would help them with whether it's food, lodging, clothing, whatever it is that they might need. Because right now, we have a lot of social services in the city. Where when I came on the job in the 80s, we did not have hardly any of them. We had some, but not to the magnitude of what we have now. We need to do something about the aggressive panhandling on North Street, because as you brought out, it's not just elderly people that are having people come up to them aggressively, whether it's to their car window and bashing on their car windows, whether it's right there when they're walking on North Street, or some of the workers going down to their cars in some of our parking decks, you know, being bothered, and they're afraid. They're, you know, especially when they're on that parking deck alone with this person, they're aggressively going at them, wanting money. Okay, I'm trying to think what the third one was. Oh, the homelessness.
Homeless, yeah.
Yes. We need to do more to get them into housing,
yes,
or get them into our shelters. Some of them choose not to go to our shelters, but we cannot have them, you know, camped out on our streets, camped out in front of our downtown buildings, camped out in our parks like Springside Park that's been up there for 3 years now. You know, because, you know, it's intimidating. It doesn't look good for the city. And the up at Springside Park, they're destroying our natural resource up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I recently asked the mayor to have them removed, because I've talked to David and the other two gentlemen that are living up there. And, you know, like David, he has a place to go. It's just that he'd have to stop drinking.
Yeah.
And using. You know, so we're allowing them to destroy. I mean, they have been using the stream and the land up there to use as a bathroom.
Yeah.
For 3 years now. We are just okayed putting $1 million into rebuilding that pond on Springside Avenue in Springside Park.
Yeah.
And guess where that water comes from?
I know.
The stream that runs right through the encampment. And I told the mayor, I said, this is a public health issue. Yeah. You know, I just don't see how people are not seeing it. And, you know, David had told me and another gentleman that went up there and talked to him that, you know, he's going to stay there until they make him leave. And it's against the law for them to be camping out there.
Yeah. And we're not helping them.
Yes, we're not. We're enabling them.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. No, I in Springside Park is near and dear to my heart because we used to slide over there. I lived in the North End. But I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, there were people living up there. We used to call it Hobo. Not a lot of them, but and they were there for the summer basically, and then they were gone. But thanks for addressing that. It is an issue, and it is an issue. When you come out of St. Joe's Church, and I don't want to take your time, but you come out of St. Joe's Church and you take a left to head down North Street, and you're approached three times by panhandlers. And again, when we were cops, we had the Salvation Army, we had the hotels in West Pittsfield, and that was it.
Yes.
That was part of police station.
And people think law enforcement, but we're all just these evil people that want to criminalize homelessness and arrest people. You know, it's not that way. When I walked North Street before, I would talk to people. I mean, we had different people that panhandled then. And one of them, some people will recognize, is Nate. And when somebody come up to me and say, hey, there's a guy panhandled up there, I'd walk him, say, Nate, what are you doing? You can't be up here doing that. He'd say, okay. And he would just leave and he'd stop. It was not a throw the cuffs on him, throw him in jail. You know, it's just being a presence. And when there was a complaint, going there and stopping it.
Thank you for saying you were a presence. Somewhere in the big scheme of policing, we've lost the presence.
Yes.
I've some of my fondest memories of being in law enforcement were on the midnight shift on North Street with the people who no one sees, but they see everything.
Yep.
And you know, you were there.
Yeah.
We can reminisce later on, but we got to get you up on the mayor's thing here. What's your feeling about civil service?
Okay. Because of my history in the police department, I believe in civil service.
Okay.
I did talk to retired Chief Wynn in regard to this when he wanted to take it out of civil service. I asked him if he could give me the paperwork so I could see it. You know, because I'm always willing to listen to both sides, instead of just having my own personal view on something. And I've never seen it.
Oh.
So I don't know what the, there's safety mechanisms for officers under civil service that I just wanted to see, would they be there with taking it out of civil service?
Protection.
Yes.
Protection from, it was started, civil service was started to protect civil servants, city employees, from political shenanigans. That's a word.
I did not know that, but I believe in it.
That's a word I just made, shenanigans. what's your then, as long as we're on this path, let's just finish this up. What is your opinion of a new police station?
Well, we need one. And when I got hired in 1986, they said we were going to be getting one.
Yeah.
And as you notice, it's 2023 and we haven't yet. But right now, the taxpayers can't afford a $50 million police station. How they came to that number, I don't know. I did speak to the old chief and I never really got like set plans of, and where that number came from. I do know that when I heard that they were moving some of the officers upstairs out of the police station over to the old town hall, I did go to our building maintenance and ask them if the building was a stable building, and if it was, if there was nobody in the upstairs, could we rip it out to bare walls and, design it as a more modern, the inside is a more modern station, which, could be less costly than building a whole new building.
Yeah, I must not be honest with you. I don't want to take you, but when I heard that, it blew me away. I got a little bit of a background in building things around the world, but that was, yes. But you're right. We certainly need it. I wonder too, should we be calling up Congressman Neal's office and Senator Warren's office looking for federal funding? That's just me. Let's continue with your run for mayor.
If you give me a minute.
Okay.
Give me a minute. I did talk to our local legislators about that.
Oh, yeah.
When we met out in front of the station to march in one of the veteran parades.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did. And they did have a tour of the station, not that day, but prior. And they're in agreement because, yes, if we could get a good grant to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just other people searched them out. And that's all I'm saying. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, because we are a morning show, people are in and people are out. This is Karen Kalinowski. I'm trying to do these interviews so that you get to know the candidates, especially the primary ones. And then when we come down to the ballot, to the real election, I'll do them all again. But Karen's running for mayor. She's a retired police officer. She's currently a city council at-large member. And we've been talking about things that I have checked on with people, just citizens asking if I'm going to interview the mayoral candidates, what would you want me to ask? And blah, blah, blah. And so we're doing them. The next one, Karen, is trash. It seems as we're a transfer station now, I guess, is what we are.
Yes. When they sold, they became a transfer station, which when I found out, I went and talked to the commissioner about it because it seems like we're going backwards. I asked him about having another incinerator put in, a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we won't do that. Massachusetts doesn't do that. And I said, why? It's going to cost us a lot of money to truck that to other areas because Massachusetts won't allow us to make any new dumps. So once we cap ours in Massachusetts, and I believe already some of our garbage goes over into New York or beyond, that, the farther it has to go, the more costly it's going to be to us.
Absolutely.
So, when I went to the MMA, seminar thing they had there, I did ask, and there was no one there for incinerator. So I don't know what their negativity is about. I have looked up, and they make them a whole lot cleaner running than they did back in the one that, we had up there since the 1980s. But, I believe in recycling. I do it myself. We compost here at my house. I mean, but I know everybody doesn't.
Right.
But, with being a transfer station, we also got rid of being able to drop certain items off. So right now, if somebody wants to get rid of a TV, a mattress, sofas, furniture, anything, they have to go to Lenox to do it. So why, we're the biggest city here in Berkshire County, why are we not doing this? We are seeing the side effects of it. My husband works for the railroad. They're seeing a higher throwing away of furniture, TVs, mattresses down the embankments and onto the railroad tracks. We see it in the city, in different parks, in different areas that people are dumping their trash, which is costing the taxpayers because when this happens, they contact the city. The city comes and picks it up.
Yeah. Karen, I will not be stopping by to visit.
Somebody's coming to my house.
No. Sorry. No, I really enjoy my both legs. I think these are all in really taxpayer issues. I really mean that. You're addressing them. I think you're bringing them to light. Yeah. I will say this, be careful. Running out of time here. What strategies do you have for filling the vacancies within the city that are not all civil service?
I think we need to reach out more. I think we need to advertise more. I don't think we're getting, not everybody does everything by the computer. Not everybody's on a computer looking for jobs. I mean, a lot of people do, but not everybody.
Yeah.
And that I had brought up before about I was supporting the paraprofessionals. So I Googled, I didn't go on the city website, I Googled paraprofessionals Pittsfield jobs, and the one came up for the city of Pittsfield and the one came up from the private agency that they were using, you know, under the same thing. But I mean, I only Googled it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what the pay difference was. And there is.
Sure.
So this one, if most people would apply for a job, they're going to take the one that pays more.
Sure.
And, you know, the outfit that, you know, was doing it for the city, you know, paid more than what the city does, though the city has benefits.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, I wish you the best, and I applaud you for doing this. I applaud you for throwing your hat in the ring, because that's what makes the system work. And good luck on the primary day. Here's my thinking: no one loses because you've been in the arena. Some people will prevail and go on, and others will have another shot. You've got about 3 minutes, and I'm sorry you ran by. But thank you for your answers. They're very forthright and candid. I appreciate that. And I think the people of Pittsfield appreciate that. Why should we vote for Karen Kalinowski?
Well, I think you said one reason, because I'm candid and I just tell it the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm not a public speaker. You know, I'm one of those people that just speaks when you ask me a question, I just speak what I feel. Yeah. I'm also not connected to any, you know, what they call the good old boy system. I think I can bring a different change to the city, which it needs, a fresh perspective. I'm willing to sit down and listen to and get the public involved. I think public involvement is one of the biggest keys to lifting the city up and making it better, because people definitely feel like they are never listened to, that the city does not listen to them. And I'm somebody that is willing to listen to people and I'm willing to listen to ideas. We have a lot of smart people in this city.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of well-educated, smart people. And I think, you know, we need to open up to that and get that personal involvement.
You certainly have a background of public service. I will say that, as a police officer, as a school resource officer, and now as a city councilor at large for two terms, so it'll be 4 years. I wish you and all the people who have their hats in the arena the best of luck. And I mean that. I looked down the list of people, and I think they're all great people. And Karen and I both want you to do this. Get out and vote. You don't have a voice if you don't vote. So don't be complaining afterwards that things didn't work out the way you wanted. And Karen, will you check that with me?
Yes. Not only do they need to vote, they need to vote September 19th at the primary.
Yeah.
That is very important, because one of us in the mayoral candidate will not continue on to the November election.
Thank you for bringing that up. Karen, best of luck. Thanks for doing this. And hopefully we'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Have good luck. And I mean that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody, vote, vote, vote. That's all you have to remember. And please vote.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and today I've got a wonderful guest for you. She's running for ward council on the Pittsfield City Council. Her name is Rhonda Sears, and we're going to do an interview. And as I always do, I have my prepared questions. They're all pretty much the same for all the candidates. I've been doing this for a few years now since I've been on the radio. But here's what I want to say. I'll say it a couple more times before we close. I don't care who you vote for, but please vote. Too often these elections are not looked at as important. These are the elections that govern what's going to happen in the city, right. The people who are going to be doing it. So please get out. And Pittsfield makes voting very easy, really. I've lived in other places where you'd have to drive 8-10 miles to vote. So, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm older, fatter, and balder than the last time you saw me, but I'm still defying gravity. So,
that's what we pray for.
That's right. I have to ask you this question.
Sure.
Why are you running for office?
There are a couple of reasons, but the main reason is Ward 7 has some pretty significant investments coming their way in the next couple of years. And I haven't been happy with the engagement of my counselors in the immediate past. And I thought we need somebody at the table who's going to protect our rights and make sure that Ward 7's point of view is protected. We got Wacona Park coming up. They've got Pontusic Lake remodeling coming up. Not to mention all the normal things like the bridges that are out and the causeway, and all these things need active participation and need somebody on the council that knows how to debate with decorum to achieve compromise that gets stuff done instead of just blaming each other or just talking to be talked to.
Yep.
It's time we return to governing.
I applaud you for doing it. As I've said to everyone, the system doesn't work if people don't throw their hat in the ring. And you know, when you're going over those projects, you're right. As a ward, that one bridge there, whatever they're doing by St. Joe's Cemetery.
It's Pex Road Bridge. Yeah.
I mean,
that's significant.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been held up for a while. Trying to be kind.
For forever, it feels like, in the neighborhood, I'll tell you.
Well,
that one and Outer Hancock Road also has a bridge that's been down to one lane for forever. We need to get stuff done.
Yes. Yes. And you know, the next question, you kind of handled it, but I'm sure you'll add to it. What do you believe are the most pressing issues in your ward today?
I think roads are the most pressing issue. From Ward 7 has more unaccepted roads. We have multiple bridges down. We have critical infrastructure that's ready to go. We have one of the most critical dams in the entire city in our ward.
Yeah.
We have fire hydrants that don't work when the fire department shows up for a blaze. We have some serious, and I consider that all roads because they're all infrastructure together. The pipes, the roadways, the infrastructure under the roadways, all of that. We're in serious shape, and we need somebody that's going to actually make sure that the city administration and the mayor, whoever that may be, steps up and knows and understands what Ward 7 is asking for. I mean, we have some of the greatest resources in the entire city right here in our ward. And it deserves to go both ways.
Now, do you mean the dam on Wakona Street?
Yes.
That dam scares me.
Oh, it should.
I mean, if it ever let go, one of my sacred buildings will be gone to Polish
Felt.
You know?
I know. And speaking of that, rumor has it, that's one of the fire hydrants that wasn't working recently during the Wakona Street fire. So again, that's a rumor. I haven't confirmed that with the fire chief. I've been setting appointments with the city to sit down and make sure the rumors and facts are clearly defined. But if that's even remotely true, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Anytime a fire hydrant isn't working, that's really that's a big deal. I kind of jumped at folks. Just give us a 30,000 foot overview of Rhonda. I'm sorry, but maybe I knew you and I saw. I'm reading it now.
Thank you.
Give us a little public who you are.
Who me? I have always been in public service in some degree or another throughout my career.
Yeah.
I started working for the state legislature for Christopher Hodgkins down in Lee.
Yeah.
Then I moved on to working for Congressman John Oliver, representing the Western Mass part of his district. And then from there, I worked for Mass Development, which is reaching out. I have a large dog. A bath buddy. Anyways, we're working with Mass Development and helping Berkshire County businesses and nonprofits reach the financial packages they needed to thrive. And then elder services, the school department, most recently Greylock Federal Credit Union. My career has always been focused in helping the community. I figure if I'm going to spend this much time doing something out of my home, it needs to be important to me anyways.
Well, thanks for doing it. And that's what I wanted to get out. This isn't like Rhonda's first rodeo. She just didn't sit at the kitchen table and say, hey, Sean, you know, I think I'm going to run for city council. She's got a wealth of experience in government and getting things done across the board. So I just wanted get that. Well, I wanted to be honest and fair with people. That's why I do these. It's just not an article in the paper that people that I've been doing it for a long time. Well, I have to ask you this. It's not in your ward, but you look at the whole council too. What is your opinion on the North Street bike lane?
If you've ever been to Church Street in Burlington, Vermont, you know what I want. I would love to see a vibrant downtown, completely walkable. Every storefront is booked. Every restaurant is booked. It's vibrant. It's beautiful. It's community. It's where everybody goes when they want to connect.
Yeah.
I don't see that with North Street. I don't believe, and I know a lot of people find umbrage with this, but in my opinion, North Street is not a through street. In my opinion, Mass Highway moved Route 7 over to First Street for a reason. John Oliver redesigned and helped find the funding to renovate Seymour Street for a reason, and that is to get through traffic off North Street. To allow North Street to thrive as a retail and hospitality district. And I know a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people want to go straight up south to north, unencumbered, and just zip right through. But to me, that retail district deserves slow traffic, deliberate traffic, and it deserves people who are going there to park there, to participate there. Bike lanes are a step in the right direction. I don't know if this was the perfect execution of it. I'm willing to continue the experiment, and willing to work with the business owners there and make sure that this is not doing counterintuitive. I don't want anything that drives people away from the destination of our street. Yes, we're driving away drive-through traffic. They aren't shopping there anyways. I want destination traffic on North Street to be free-flowing, able to find a parking spot, able to build community, and able to participate with the business owners in building the community. So long story short, bike lanes are a good start, maybe not the right execution. Would we ever be Church Street in Burlington, Vermont? I don't know. I don't want to try to replicate what another community has right. done, because we're unique. Our solution is going to look different no matter what. But I'd like to continue to drive deliberate traffic to North Street.
I can't disagree with that. My friend since we were teenagers, Jimmy Roberto, had a vision for North Street that was the ground floor would be businesses and restaurants, and the top floors would be offices and living. I'm going to be quiet and let you talk, but I agree. I'm not against the bike lane, but I don't think it's the correct bike lane. That's just me. And I was stationed in the Netherlands in Amsterdam. So trust me, I've seen bike lanes.
It's amazing. My daughter spent a semester in Barcelona.
Same thing.
Yeah, about a bike friendly city.
Yeah.
I was stunned. Nobody drives in Barcelona. And if they do, it's a little scooter or a tiny, tiny, tiny little car.
I used to tell one of the guys that would pick me up, you got to get a bigger car, dude. My legs have to stick out the window. But thank you for that. No, yeah. What about, and again, it's not a ward problem, but it's a city problem. What is your opinion of, are we doing enough for the homeless, the street beggars and things like that? I know it's not our city's problem. It is a city problem, but
right.
It's a
societal
problem. Yes. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. It is a societal problem. The problem is not that there are people on the corner panhandling.
No.
But for the grace of God, go I. I know where my meal is coming from tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Those people may or may not be, I mean, there is some doubt as to whether they're legitimate homeless. I hate to say how you define legitimate homeless. But these are members of our community.
Yeah.
These are their brothers and sisters and sons and mothers and fathers. These are human beings.
Yeah.
And they have a full range of challenges like all the rest of us. Some of us may have mental health issues. Some of us have financial issues. Some of us have relationship issues. We don't know. And it's not for us to judge.
Yeah.
It is incumbent upon us to be compassionate human beings and provide what resources we can to help them until they're in a position to fully engage with the services that are available. Just because they're not ready to engage in a certain public service,
yes,
does not mean they're not worthy of our compassion.
I agree.
So do I think we're doing enough? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
In the I don't know the exact time, but it's a long time. The Breen before they have an opening to counsel.
Yeah.
So, and again, you know, I I'm like you. It's a societal problem that just selling. Quick story. My wife and I knew a young person who came back from the Korean War and didn't want to live. I mean, it wasn't that.
No.
He liked living in the woods. Okay. You can judge that any way you want, but he had a membership to the Y. He would come into the city. He would take his showers, clean up. He'd eat at the restaurants. And I just think there's it's a very in-depth problem, and I hear people just skim across the top of it. Oh, we need more housing. Well, yes, we do. But
yeah,
can't make people go in our house. So, but thank you for that. It was a good answer. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Here comes another one, Nat. What about what about your opinion on a new police station?
Absolutely. No brainer. No brainer. I've been supporting a new police station since they first brought it forward to John Oliver back in 2002, 2003. They presented to us at the time the level of lead poisoning in the basement from the firing range. The dilapidated electrical system that is a hazard to anybody. The inability to present modern equipment because the infrastructure of the building is so bad, you have wires running everywhere. And just the access of the building. Let's just talk about public access to the building and how the public can utilize the building. There are steps going into it.
Yeah.
Come on.
that's
to me, I mean, like I said, it was the early 2000s when I first started studying the police department issue. And it absolutely positively needs to be done. I cannot believe we are expecting our police officers to be able to function in a transparent, fair, and modern environment with the constraints of the building they're in, and we're exposing them to the lead poisoning.
Yeah. It's not just all the paint, the 2,500 layers of paint who are lead-based.
Right.
I mean, and now it's falling off the wall. No, thank you for that. No, I'm the same way. Do I agree that it's $50 million? Well, if it is, somebody has to show me, and I'm open. But I'm also saying, let's get our delegation. The state is flush with cash, ARPA, SNARPA, and DARPA money and all kinds of stuff. Let's get a loan or let's get a grant for at least half or three quarters of it from some from the state, some from the federal government. But that's
there
for another day.
Yeah, I feel like there have been opportunities in the past that were squandered.
Yeah.
I know, but our job is to look forward and make sure we don't miss the next opportunity.
And thank you for that. Thank you for that, because I think more and more people are looking for people looking forward, if that makes any sense. Because again, you know, I'm old enough to remember the demise of GE, or as I refer to it, post-GE traumatic syndrome. People, when I first started on the GE will be back. They're coming. No, they can't. Well, when they start tearing down the buildings, the first clue, they're not coming back.
Yeah, they're kind of gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a GE kid, actually. Yeah. I landed in Berkshire County because my father ended up at Pittsfield GE.
Yeah. And I think from that moment on, we've kind of been reminiscing and backlifting. And remember Ringling Brothers? Yeah, well, it's a bank now.
Right.
And what I think, and I'm an old man, but what I think is we need people with vision for the future and people with experience. Yeah. I don't mean somebody that's it's their first day, you know, it's their first rodeo, because as God rest his soul, Jimmy McCaffrey said, Billy, when I was on the council, it took me a year to find out where the restroom was. So City Hall.
It is a huge learning curve. I will say that with experience, you have to maintain. Usually experience means you've been jaded.
Yeah.
A lot of times people equate those. And the enthusiasm has to be there.
Yes.
And the excitement for the future has to be there. And the love of country. The love of, I'm sorry, I can't see Pontoosuc Lake from my house, but I live very close to Pontoosuc Lake. Every time I drive past Pontoosuc Lake Park, I remember how absolutely flippin' blessed I am.
Yeah.
Except for the time when the ice storm snapped them all in half, all the trees. That was heartbreaking. But we need to take pause and remember to be thankful and to be grateful in our day. And living in the Berkshires with all of the perceived problems and real problems of being in a seasonal society, in a rural society, in an urban center with rural, I look at my ward, goes everything all the way up to the state forest. We have urban through rural, every community you could think of. Density wise, we have. And no matter what the challenges are, we all need to stop at least once a day. I recommend much more. And just look around and breathe and say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, we live in a beautiful part. And as I told when the DA was running, I said, well, the DA's office is much different here because it's urban. And it's rural, and then it's rural, rural, you know?
Right. we got people off the grid. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your feeling on keeping the fire or taking it in or keeping it, the police and fire and others in civil service?
That's hard. I have always felt that civil service was important. I'm the child of a fireman.
Yeah.
My grandfather, well, not child, grandchild. I grew up my early years in station number one in San Jose, California, where my grandfather was captain. And I grew up with I grew up a fireman. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a fireman, but they're all family. And I grew up believing in civil service because that's what my grandfather believed in, and that's how he worked best. And
yeah, I'm here.
Society changes, and I'm not necessarily sure that civil service should be abandoned.
Yeah.
Maybe civil service needs to grow up and grow out like the society has.
Right.
But I in the heart of it, I agree with the concept of civil service.
That's fine. This is old, but so am I.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, my father's old firefighter.
I got my grandpa's too, but it's not within reach.
Okay, well, this kind of, but I digress. I agree with you. Civil service can still be viable, but they have to grow up. We can't be waiting.
Yeah.
2 years, 18 months, 26 months, it's costing the cities and towns a fortune.
Yeah, the process is broken. There is no doubt that the process is broken. And that is an organizational problem, not a philosophical problem.
I agree. Yes, thank you. But a default can certainly be now that they never... Mm-hmm. That we, even when I was on, we didn't have it. Now they have unions, and unions can go to court arbitration. So there is a stopgap. And a lot of places around the country use POST, police officers, standard and training, and they run these academies all the time.
Right.
So rather than waiting, you know, I got to wait 9 months for an academy. Dudes.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Now it's a lot easier.
What?
If you're willing to travel.
What do you think the most challenging thing for your ward, number one, is, mm-hmm. for you, will be, if elected, or two, for mm-hmm. the city, if elected?
Housing. Housing is huge. There is a huge barrier to success from every family, for low and middle income, for upper. There is no adequate housing, and it starts at the lowest level, income level, and goes all the way up to executive level housing.
Yeah.
It is inadequate. It is old. It is out of code. There are a million different reasons, landlord problems, but home ownership is the solution. Building family wealth and building the ability to be responsible for your own place and place building is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of our housing stock at all levels is deplorable.
You nailed a lot of the homes are old. I drive around. I just recently for mm-hmm. some stuff that I'm doing, I've driven pretty much every ward in the city, and some of the mm-hmm. most, beautiful places when GE was going, they're pretty right. deteriorated now in other parts of the town. So the city, I agree, Rhonda, housing is a huge, huge issue. And I leave it up to those like in the government, in city councils, mm-hmm. and to stay like they got to take this on, and somebody's got to be
right.
You've been in government long enough to know it's going nowhere until it gets a champion. And
right, and I think the momentum is there. I think One Berkshire putting housing as one of the yeah. fundamental priorities of their blueprint. I think a lot of the partnerships that have started to take place in the city. Wow, the West Side Legends work has been phenomenal. The Habitat for Humanity's work, all of this effort to get to help people build their family wealth and own their own future by having their sliver of land that they own and they are responsible for. That's huge.
Yeah.
There will always be rentals. There will always be a rental community. There will always be a transient community coming in, executives coming in and out, and tourists seasonally and all of that. But the year-round working class population deserves to own their home.
Rhonda Sears is running for ward counselor. Rhonda, I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes to tell people why they should vote for Rhonda Sears.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it so much. First of all, campaign is just starting. It's. I'm looking forward to the debates and discussions. There are 3 people running for this seat. That's a great opportunity for the people of Ward 7 to really get their issues discussed and out in the open and debated publicly. So I'm really looking forward to this. From what I'm hearing from knocking on doors and having coffees and just literally pulling over the side of the road when I see somebody I know and saying, hey, by the way, what do you think? It is roads. It is representation. It is active representation. I am here because Ward 7 needs a champion. Ward 7 deserves to have somebody that loves this ward as much as they do, is willing to acknowledge the shortcomings, but is also willing to do the work to make a difference and find a solution. I don't talk at people. My definition of debate is not two sides of an argument talking at each other. My idea of debate is there's an issue, there's a problem, or a solution. And it's time that people with different points of view and different perspectives sit down, talk through, find their common ground, respect each other's positions, and deal with things in a way that leads to a compromise that brings out the best solution for everybody. You know, this is a city council. This is not a presidential campaign. We don't need to be sniping at each other. We don't need to be calling each other names. Counselors don't need to, you know, we don't need to be sitting at home going, oh, I know how this vote's going to turn out. This one's going to do this, and this one's going to do that. And this one said yes, so this one's going to say no. That's not effective. That's not what the people of Ward 7 deserve. That's not what the people of Pittsfield deserve. It's okay to disagree. I think we've forgotten that as a society. It's okay to disagree because disagreements open your mind and bring about solutions that maybe you haven't thought of.
Eleanor Roosevelt is a thing that I remember from a play called Eleanor, written by Mark Saint Germain. And Eleanor Roosevelt said, talk to me, don't preach to me.
Exactly.
And it's okay to be disagree, but not be disagree. I've been on this program on the radio for a long time. And when I first started, I made a commitment that I would, that was it. We can disagree, but I will never be disagreeable. And I can't tell you the number of times when someone has said something that when I researched it, they were right. And my thinking was wrong. I didn't argue with them because I just don't do that. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
If you prevail, you'll be, don't take this as a threat. If you prevail, you'll be back on. I always use the word prevail. I don't use the word lose or win because it's not that. It's not a game. And,
No,
it's Rhonda, thank you. And you're going to, you know, thank you for all your experience. Thank you for doing this show. And folks, and thank you for running.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to thank everybody who's running because the more people that run, the better off the residents are.
There's no question about it. And to listeners and viewers, please, please vote. I don't care who you vote for. Rhonda does, but I don't.
Do.
I want you to vote. When I hear the projections are so low because there's no big name. You know the big name? Rhonda Sears. You know the big name? Mafuccio, Tony Mafuccio.
Right.
Why? Because they're our local people.
Rhonda, exactly.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. And
Thank you, Bill.
I won't visit until I'm sure the dog is restrained.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah. Be well, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.